Hey, patrons, how's it going? Welcome to the post show for 57 or whatever the fuck this is.
I hope everyone slad a good time today.
Jesus Christ. We'll see you next week, guys. Thanks for watching. Adam ruins everything. Adam just literally is the Grinch. What CR are those things, by the way, out of curiosity?
Oh, man, a lot.
They're pretty high level.
I mean, they don't have any AoE. They get three attacks. The blue one hits pretty hard. The problems with the hit, like if you get the red slad disease, nothing happens during the fight, so that doesn't make it, it's not too bad. Yeah. The blue slad, though, if you get nailed with that thing, you can't heal. So you can't, magic spells will not heal you. So if the blue slad hits you and you fail that check, and you drop to zero, only mundane heal checks will save you. The blue slot is CR7, the red slot is CR5. So for you guys, that would have been like, I don't know, if we still cared about CR, it's a deadly encounter. But
yeah,
there's only two of them, and yeah. And I was planning to have backup for you since the beginning anyway. So.
Yeah, that was definitely a cool moment seeing those guys rush in and drop like 90 and 110 damage in one attack. They crit both times. It was like, what the fuck?
It could have absolutely gone like much. Y'all did such a good job mitigating that shit, like making it not horrible. Like, because if you had just been like, cool, we busted our weapons, we attack them,
it would have been bad.
Then they would have been there to just chew you up. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was great. All that fucking rigmarole. It's like classic D&D bullshit, right? Players being like, and then we pretend to fall down, and then he rolls off and I illusion spell, and then we yell at them, and then the dice are like, yeah, but fuck your plan.
It was going so well. It was going so well till the fucking And the other thing is, there were two points that I almost wanted to rule lawyer you on. One, it says literally the fucking tiny hut cannot be broken into. In the spell itself. So I was like, Adam, dispels it. But it was whatever. And then I was like, technically I should be rolling intelligence for this fucking performance thing here. But it wouldn't have mattered really, because I would have only gotten a +4 on that 5. So it would have only been like a 9 or some shit.
Yeah.
But yeah. I was almost like about to be, well, actually, Adam. But I was enjoying the narrative too much that I didn't want to really like. I didn't want to be that guy. So.
Well, and the other thing too is like I know that the HUD is supposed to be impermeable, but the slot are like kind of anti-magic in the first place, and the realm has some weird stuff that happens with your magic, so it's not quite as stable as normal.
Yeah.
Slod.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
The slod, yep.
Name's fitting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
It's a name you could croak in a weird frog language.
I guess we'll start with Max's weekly therapy session after D&D. How'd you enjoy playing Berg this week, Max? How was that?
It was more pain.
Yeah.
Just when you think you can't take anything away from him.
Listen, man, you swear allegiance to the divine power of destruction and loss. I got you think you're at the bottom now, buddy. We got a long way down to go. Don't you worry.
Yeah.
You know Ramus is swearing allegiance to that too.
Ramus is literally a soulless husk. So yep. I still remember
that
I still
was
remember
like
back when we did the time skip and Dan chose to be like, I will not choose the thing that keeps my soulless huskiness at bay. It's happening. I'm keeping track of a thing. It's just much more subtle than let's beat up Berg today.
Yeah.
When you said though, like Ramus is, he's a soulless husk. That to me, that was like a parent be like, don't talk about your brother. Your brother's like, this is about you.
He's got his own problems.
Yeah.
No, I'm losing that though. That attunement to the Emperor. Hopefully, this is what I'm hoping. Hopefully it's just like a thing that lost the attunement that Berg had with it. But that doesn't mean that he can't reattune and that, like, so maybe over time. But it's going to be annoying still as fuck if, like, now I have to wait. Because a lot of time has passed since Berg first got the Apology of Emperor Fae. He's had that shit for a long while now at this point. We even did, like, a time skip forward, you know, like, to get to Old Man Berg. So, like, what? Do I have to wait for another two fucking, like, skip or whatever? Also, is the boon that I have tied to the Emperor Fae? Is that how that works? Or?
No, it's tied to your rage. So
tied to me.
As long as you're raging, you deal an extra necron.
Okay, well that's nice, but still,
it's a +2
I might have
hammer.
To just use some other.
or sorry, plus two weapon. So it, you need that.
And is it still like, I don't know if this is something to be asked now, or but can I still use that weapon just ineffectively? Or I don't know. Like, is there a negative? Yeah. Like, do I use a different hammer now at this point? Or
you'll find out.
You were describing it like you couldn't even fucking pick that thing up. How's he gonna fight with that bitch?
Well, that's because you were unattuned, I think. But at least that's how I interpret it.
Well, I just imagine like just ripping off Kalimot's leg and using that instead.
Yeah.
Well, you've got your backup mace, right? You got the pretty face mace. That is potentially you could attune yourself to.
Yeah, it's not the same.
I know it's not the same. That's why I took away the other one.
Or he's got a fucking shitty arm, stony arm, all fucked up in the soul. Yeah. Got a dark passenger. Now he lost his. That's why both myself as Max and Berg were RPing the same feelings. Because Berg was like, this is the last shit that I had going for me. That's why he was literally like, let's go talk to the wizard. I don't care if I die. It's whatever.
Right. But I can't. Yeah. Go ahead.
To describe the feeling of, I don't know, crestfallen might be the word to use. When those monks started whooping the shit out of the slods, that was the moment that it solidified 100% that we are nothing but pawns in this fucking game. Whatever is going on, we are nothing. And it just totally like went washed over me, and I just like kind of lost heart like real quick, like with my position in this quest, like our position in this quest, I guess. So it just, and that's why I started just spilling the beans, because I was like, there are powers at play that are way beyond us that can snap us out of existence immediately. So shit. Sucks when you're a pawn and you realize you're a pawn.
Yeah. Yeah. I almost want to like just cast a shit ton of spells to just see what happens when it goes bad.
Yeah.
I also thought that I thought that the sleep at level 3, sleep's just a bad spell. I'm never going to do that again. That's just a waste of a spell. I thought 98 sucks. Would be high enough, but
it sucks.
If I rolled perfect on that, it's a 72, and most things
which
are
still,
level.
Yeah. Even if you rolled perfect, every single die at 8, it wouldn't have knocked them out.
Yeah. I feel like they need to, I don't know, but the other side of that coin is early level sleep is like really fucking broken at like level 1 or 2.
It's kind of like Druid
shape-shifting. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, if you're ever attacked with a bunch of stuff, I mean, D&D it's crowd control. Like 5e has this problem where the balance of the game shifts so dramatically that like first to third level almost feels nothing like, you know, even fifth to eighth, right? Like it's changed so much that spells and abilities that you were like, yes, this rules at level 3. By the time you're level 5 or 6, you're like, oh, what the fuck? Why would I ever use this?
Right. Yeah. But that's fine. It's fine.
You also had stupid HP. So it was like, maybe if you were going off for like, you know, kind of like a mid-level character or some shit like that, like something,
or a bunch of mobs, like Adam was saying. Yeah.
You can also, also beat them up a little first and then knock them out with sleep.
Yeah. That's
true. It's not based on their total XP. It's based on whatever their current XP is.
Right.
It's not a great spell to like bring. It's not a heavy hitter. Like out the beginning. No, of the fight, and like, fuck you.
I don't really have like any super fucking crazy heavy hitter spells. Cause I don't have fireball. Yeah. I'm still waiting on 6 for a lot of like the big stuff, because I took haste, but there hasn't really. We've only had one fight where haste was gonna like really play an important role, and I ended up using enlarge on you instead.
Yeah, sound like you have a lot of concentration spells where you can only have one of those at a time.
Yeah, I do for sure.
That was still pretty cool though. I mean, we got Big Berg out of that.
Big Berg
and Little Berg.
Yeah. No, the majority, like every spell that I have is either a ritual or prepared and a concentration. So like enlarge, haste, flame sphere. There's like 2 or 3 others that I can't think of that are like magic missile is probably like my highest damage right now. If I just cast.
Yeah. Really like a really boosted, magic missile.
It's really strong.
You can do some shit.
Yeah, it's like a 5d 8 or something like that, or some yeah. nonsense. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, I thought that was fun. I'm also glad that Berg decided to drink from the fountain. I thought that was great too.
Yep.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah.
I mean,
well, it's a pretty classic D&D bait and switch where you're right. like, the first character is like, I'm going to do the thing. And it's like, yeah, cool. It goes all right for you. And the next player is like, I'm going to do the thing. And you're like, you fucking die. You're
right. Like, I had a feeling no. that that's the way it was going to go as dragons. A player.
Yeah.
No, I had a feeling yeah. I was going to, just the rings were like a precedent to that, right? Like, obviously things are affecting Berg differently because something about Berg, right? But yeah. then I thought about it. If you saw me like hesitate for a bit, it's just because I was like, well, Berg would totally, you know, mm-hmm. he's a bit thick headed and he's like, well, I feel like shit right now. So if that's going to rejuvenate me and make me feel good, maybe we'll try it. And we got the benefit of, you know, getting rid of the slot impregnation. So
that was I almost nice. Drank from it.
A little silver lining.
I was really close from drinking from that thing. I think if you
I would imagine you guys would have been fine. Probably everyone else would have been fine. But
yeah.
Just because it's Berg.
Yeah. I'm curious to see what type of shenanigans Ramus gets into next episode. Because I feel like you're going to be a kid in a candy store just walking around.
Yeah, Ramus is fascinated by power.
Yeah.
Dude, and I can totally see, like, Dan's Gaming, like, when you were, like, in this thing, is like, you were getting antsy. Like, I got to fucking pick some shit up. Let's look at all this stuff. I know.
So yeah. much magic around.
I feel like you're going to be Jim Carrey in The Mask walking through the hallway trying to be quiet. You're just going to be doing this yeah. all around him, just like taking a magic item and putting it into a pouch.
What's this do?
yeah. And eventually, you're going to find the one magic item that you like pick up and you just vanish into another dimension and that's all we hear from Ramus. What were you going to say?
I pictured it more like Willy Wonka in the Chocolate Factory when they stole fizzy lifting drink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like at the end, yeah. Trick is going to come back. It's like, you stole fountain water. Good day, sir.
The little goat dude is going to be like, touch nothing but the lamp. And he has to be like, this giant ass ruby. I'm going to just put this
so
in my
pretty.
Bag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Anything else? I think from like a RP's perspective, Solly took a little bit of a backseat this episode, which is totally fine because the bigger impacts were definitely on like Berg in terms of what was happening, which I was totally fine with that. But mm-hmm. I have like so many questions that I think the Kieran can like answer. I just got to figure a way to get it all out of him.
Mm-hmm. Yo, if you're curious at all, like look up the I don't think there's an official 5e Kieran, but like,
no, I know how strong they are.
The third edition.
I know they're mini gods.
They've got some crazy abilities, including, and this is the one that I'm happy to tell you as players, and I'm curious to see if it even comes up. They have once per week, they can cast Wish, but only for other creatures.
Yep.
Oh, wow. Mm.
That's like a thing they can do.
The second you said, so a funny story about Kieran is on my other wizard in one of the older episodes of roleplay in the original show, I forgot what spell it was that I had access to, but I could basically just like pull, I think it was polymorph. I could polymorph things into other creatures and I polymorphed mm-hmm. something into basically a Kieran. And it was just mm-hmm. like, he showed up and he was in an inn and the DM was like, I have no idea how, like you're level 3. This is a stupid creature to have here. There's like, this is a mini god among a bunch of mortals in just a middle of nowhere village. I think he ended up just saying like, well, I don't need to be here. And he just blinked out of existence. He just left.
What's really fun for me is contextualizing one thing through another. Like, so you see this in TV and movies all the time, right? Where they'll show the prime example of this is the transitive property of being a badass, where they'll set someone up as being like the hugest fucking badass in the world. They're like, this is the undefeated champion of whatever. He's the best. And then he gets in a fight with somebody and that person just like one punches him and you're like, damn, that guy must be awesome if he can knock this guy out. If Utrix has a Kieran as a butler, what does that say about Utrix, right? Like, that's for me like a fun thing to do because it requires that you know a little bit about like a weird magic goat with a horn is one thing, but people who know, and it's kind of the same like the stuff about the truth about the people from last episode. Like, if you knew what to look for, you're familiar with the stuff, the way it was being described and the characters, there were people in chat last episode who were like, oh, I know who these guys are. And I love doing that. And it's one thing that I think is a really big advantage that we have with the shared language of Dungeons and Dragons, where we all kind of can, like, I can talk about a thing without having to talk about it directly, and people can be like, oh, wait, I know this. Like, I recognize this thing from a different game or from my own game or from just reading the monster manual. And I love that. I love letting people have their own revelation about something rather than be like, he's a Kieran. They're Kierans. This is what they do.
Right. Yeah.
Here's the information.
I agree. I think that happened too with the slot as well. I think when the second you said that, everyone in chat was like, oh, fuck.
You're like, yo, Toad Demon's shit.
Yeah. Were the slot basically ripoffs of the frog people or the lizard people from Warhammer? It's the other way around?
It's the other way around.
Okay. Yep. All right.
Basically, everything in Warhammer is ripped off from something else. And then Warcraft ripped off everything from Warhammer. So it's just like a long series of homage.
Right. Right.
But yeah, I think the slot were the inspiration for the Slan and all that stuff. Yeah.
Well, cool. Anyone have any other comments or anything you want to bring up from the show?
Man.
Not really. Hope I get my hammer back.
Talking to Zeradus about the card reading and him just going like, you can believe whatever you like.
Oh, that's
right.
That makes
you feel better. I was like, motherfucker. I wanted to like tear up my cards and throw them on the fucking ground. Just so like, oh my God, that's the exact answer. I knew it was. I knew I made myself feel better.
It's like if you were a medieval peasant in France and you like came across, I don't know, fucking John the Baptist or some shit. And you were like, blessed John, tell me, is the word of God the true word of the Bible? Is God real? And John was like, sure, buddy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go with that if it makes you feel good.
Yeah.
Yep.
Everyone heard that conversation, right? That wasn't telepathy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's a big revelation. I think that'll come back up because probably in total culture, like, we all think it's bullshit. Like, we think that, like, hard reading is something like the peasants do. And we just kind of let it happen. And I don't think I ever brought that up with Kalimot, but I think that's
well, I knew it was bullshit too.
Right.
I knew it was bullshit until this one time when I actually tried and not, you know, didn't pull up cards that I knew were coming. Yeah. I actually let the cards do the talking. And they told me, like, I just got told, like, you know that feeling you got? That was just you, bud.
Yeah.
Just, yeah. Like, and when
for,
I became...
For me, it's like a fascinating theme, right? To think about, like, religion as placebo. And, like, if Kalimat feels meaningful profundity in his life as a result of this reading, does it matter if it's, like, magical or not, right? And then inversely, like if a bunch of people believe something, even if it's a lie, is it a different kind of true, right? If enough people believe it?
Right.
I don't know. I like that stuff. I think that's really interesting to explore in the game.
Yeah, I agree. Well, cool. I think that's good for a recap. I'm excited once again to see what happens next Tuesday. So
I know, I can't wait. Every as soon as we're done every week, I'm just like, why? It's the farthest part from doing another episode.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But regardless, we will be back next Tuesday with more, potentially for our final episode of 2017. So we'll see you guys then. Thanks, everyone, once again for your continued support. I know Patreon has changed up some stuff. If you don't know what I'm referencing, please do some research yourself. Just Google it or check out one of the posts that we had earlier this month. Because Patreon stuff is changing on the 18th. You'll be getting charged like 2.5% plus 35 cents or something like that. And if that's pretty impactful to you, don't pledge in the first place. It's all I can really say to that. But go do some history on that, some research on that for sure. You can Google and find a lot of people in uproar. So regardless, though, we'll still be here next week with more Patreon stuff after our episode at 6 o'clock Eastern. So we'll see you guys then. Have a good one. Bye-bye.